Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's in fact the 10th anniversary and a special one-off event called Cambridge 2030 taking place at St John's College tomorrow. But last week, Julie and I popped along to Coton to take a look around the home of Bart Hommels to see what he's done to improve his family's carbon footprint.
One of the things that the Open Eco Homes things asks is what made you do this in the first place? And actually, I didn't really know. At some point, we wanted to extend the house because it's rather small. It still is not very grand, but, you know, it's a bit bigger. And then I met someone from, I think, a charity who was also involved in energy efficiency. And they explained that, yes, if you extend, that's fine, but it always will increase the energy bills. And I thought, like, well, wait a second, that's not what I want. So then the extension is now built, but it became the starting point for a thermal upgrade of the house. And in some respects, it might be quite radical. We'll have a look around. Some measures are a bit radical, some measures are not. The more radical bit is actually the external wall insulation. And that's basically this layer that's been...
Oh my goodness. I would never have even noticed that, actually. But that's like the stuffing that you get in an Argos package, you know?
Yes, it's polystyrene, it's everywhere.
Wow. So what does this do?
It's like a tea cosy. Only the thing is... You see, it hasn't been finished yet because the front I would like to conserve looks, and I haven't figured out a way to really do that nicely. So I stopped here, and this is why you can still, it's on display, because otherwise it would look like brick and then you wouldn't really notice.
And sorry, is this an idea that you discovered, or did you read a book and they're like, oh, this stuff is really good for this?
A bit of both. You do look up what you can do to make your house warmer, less drafty, less cold. And then you come across either you put the insulation on the inside or you put it on the outside. And then I thought outside might be nicer because it's easier to deal with staircases, doors, windows, all the nooks and crannies that your house has got from how it is built.
Amazing. So this is number one.
Yes, and this is the only special thing about this is that it's twice as thick as normal practice. And that came basically from the architect who did the calculation with a special, a heat loss package. And then they said, well, you should go at least for 200 millimetres. So that's what I did. It also means that the reveals are getting lots deeper. This window hasn't been changed, so it catches a bit less light. But on the other hand... the effect on the inside is really noticeable. It's a lot warmer and you don't get those temperature differences where your living room is nice and cozy and then you go into the stairwell and it's like, oh, it's horribly cold. This door is a high-performance triple glazed door. I've put that in together with the external wall insulation because this would be a really big limiting factor. Aside from the fact that it opened the wrong way, so we had to replace it anyway because it would clash with other doors and all the shoes and all the stuff you have behind doors, and generally speaking.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the house. How old is the building?
It's built in 1945, very much British standard semi, basically. It has got cavity walls, which was quite novel for the time.
And so post-war, obviously.
Yes, well, just about, yes, only just. The build is quite good. It's ex-council, quite solid build, well done. And it's energy-wise, it's very much in the middle of what energy or heat loss is standard for a British house. It's a EPC rating D, if that tells you anything.
Right,
That's the certificate that came with the house when we bought it, yeah.
Your neighbours, are they sort of like looking over the fence now going, that's a good idea, I fancy that.
I'm not sure. I mean, the building works, of course, are always disruptive and, that's the thing that doesn't change. So I guess... I went quite far in these kind of measures, and I accept it's not for everybody, and not everybody might like the way we've done it, but that's also one of the reasons I'm a bit cautious about the front I was telling you about, where the insulation has not been finished, because I really want to make sure that the house keeps will still fit in with the rest of the row of houses, which are almost identical.
And did you have any knowledge of architecture before you started on this journey?
Not really, no. I have nothing to do with building world in my profession. I work, for the university in a physics lab. So, but I'm not afraid of numbers. So I could understand what the architect was telling me, I think. The architect was not one of those Well, maybe he is, but I didn't notice anything that he had sort of grand visions about how things should look and what, you know, swooping designs. He was more of a very practical, almost engineering-like architect. Like, he was very keen on getting the right thermal solution for our problem, so to speak.
But it sounds like you have to be committed to a house and to think, yeah, I'm going to be staying here for a dozen years plus in order to make that effort worthwhile.
Yeah, that's the nail on its head. Yes, absolutely. You have to think long term. I never get asked the question, does it pay for itself? Except when you're talking about eco measures. But I think it's entirely the wrong question to ask. If we're in the game of going to zero carbon, if we're in the game of reducing our CO2 footprint, you have to think long term. And actually, when you're trying to improve the home, the first thing to do is actually to think about what you'd like it to be in the end, because that drives all the little DIY jobs you might be doing to improve it. Say a window fails, are you going to replace it for, you know, the double glazing unit you had? Or are you thinking about, well, you know, eventually I'd like a more efficient home and I'm going to put a triple glazed unit in. For, okay, it might be a bit more expensive, but in the long run, it will be the better thing to do. The solar panel is one of the easier things, because that's sort of almost like an appliance you buy and they fit it for you, and it's very little consumer involvement or owner involvement. What I found surprisingly, well, I'm not saying cheap, but not expensive, is floor replacement. If you're looking at suspended wooden floors, lots of British homes have suspended wooden floors. There's very good solutions now to insulate that, and it's not too expensive. And there's also DIY options if you're so inclined. But it does mean you have to clear the room. So it's very disruptive, very annoying, because you have to do the paintwork and the decoration and all of it. But it's not expensive, and it's a lot more comfortable having warm feet all the time.
That makes sense. Any fancy gizmos in the kitchen?
Of course, the kitchen was part of the refurbishment because it had to go. That's where we extended. We went straight through the kitchen.
Right.
The induction cooker is a lovely piece of kit. My wife and I are very happy with it because, yeah, no, that is, it gets rid of the heat and the vapors and the air quality and issues you have with gas hobs, and it's a lot more efficient. Yeah, mm-hmm. Lovely.
And your wife's generally happy with the disruption, or at least with the end result?
Well, yes, she luckily has quite a high tolerance for unfinished parts of the project, so to speak. There is some tolerance for that. So you live in sort of a half finished, well, if you look at the sills there, you know, the door sills, they're not finished, and they haven't been for a good few weeks now. And okay, I will get around to it, but not tomorrow. And there is some forgiveness for that, yes.
That's Bart Hummels, who is actually one of the speakers at this Open Eco Homes event being put on by Cambridge Carbon Footprint tomorrow. It's at St John's College. It is called Cambridge 2030. And amongst the other speakers are Baroness Brown of Cambridge and also the award-winning architect Meredith Bowles. That was pretty interesting looking around that place.
It really was. It was obviously a very big project, but he was definitely, he knew what he was doing.
I think that was, to me, that was the key takeaway,
yeah.
which he said, and I think we heard it referenced in that piece there, where, you know, as long as you know where you're going.
Exactly.
So if, for the sake of argument, you need a window replacing, don't replace it with single glazing, replace it with triple glazing, even if the others aren't, because that then saves you time and money going forward.
Mm. In the kitchen in particular, we spotted a few, well, I would say just normal items that we just thought, oh, that's lovely. And then he sort of told us, oh, that's all recycled stuff too. And it was the kitchen sideboards.
The countertops. And also the table, which was old bin bags.
Yes.
It was, it looked, to be honest, you know, it looked visually, it looked a different feel to it.
It looked
just as good as, say, a granite might do.
And completely.
Visually, aesthetically.
Yeah, I think I took a few photos of that, actually, so maybe we can tweet those out.
We'll pop those on. We've got a longer version of that, by the way, which will play out one weekend soon under the black, blue or green banner. So nice, we'll turn that into a little half-hour feature, which we can play out one Saturday afternoon.
Cambridge 105 Radio.